Hey everyone, welcome's We Watch Stuff number 121. I almost said Stunt Granny, even though that was less than 24 hours ago. I'm Jeremy, and joining me as always is Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves today. I am just returning from the movies as we start this show.
And let's talk about that, because that's a movie as we've discussed, I've gotten away from going to the movies all that much. That was one that was about to pull me back in. Obviously it hasn't. You went and saw The Foreigner with Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan, right?
That is correct. It was a movie like I was interested in ever since I saw the previews, and I just didn't see it because my wife actually wanted to see it too, so we just kept putting it off to our schedules, like, matched up, and today was finally the day, and, like, we went there as, like, maybe us and two other people. It's an excellent movie. Like, I was shocked by how good it was. And I know people kind of describe it as, like, you know, Taken with Jackie Chan, and I think that's kind of the service is, like, a better version of Taken combined with, like, a Jack Ryan movie, like Patriot Games, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of those Jack Ryan the movies in a long time.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, the guy that did, what's his name, Martin Campbell, the guy that directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale directed this one. And I think this is probably, if maybe I might be mistaken, like the first R-rated Jackie Chan movie. And it earns its R. Like, it's a violent movie. And it's like an adult movie. And I always wonder how would Taken look if it had somebody that knew how to actually fight. And now I know. It would look a lot better. Because even like at Jackie Chan's age, he can still fight. And, you know, quick summary of the movie. Like, he's playing this old guy. You know, they don't know. Like, they don't see his background at first. He's like this old guy working as a cook, you know, his daughter's teenager, everything like that. And there's a bombing at a department store. She dies. He doesn't. And he's trying to figure, all he wants to know is, like, who did it? And he goes to the police, and he's like, you know, they're trying to figure it out, and they keep brushing him off. Pierce Brosnan is playing, like, this, I don't know exactly what his role was, because, like, he worked for the British government, and he was, like, a big guy in the Irish government, while at the same time, he used to be like a leader of like a terrorist group, like in the IRA back in the day. So he's like kind of like trying to, you know, play both sides, maintain peace while looking out for his old friends. And he's like a big time deal. Jackie Chan goes to him, asks him multiple times, you know, if you don't know, just tell me who it is. And everyone keeps saying no. And then finally he just snaps. And like Jackie Chan starts doing Jackie Chan stuff you didn't see, like blowing up. Basically, kind of like, you know, blowing up a bathroom. Tell me who it is. Blowing up a car. Tell me who it is. They sent people to get him. He beats them all up. All he wants is names. He keeps giving them chance after chance after chance. They keep sending more people and more people. He's setting booby traps like it's Home Alone on steroids. And it's like, it's all this. I don't want to spoil the movie too much. It's basically like, he keeps giving them a chance. And they keep, like, underestimating him. And he keeps, like, just give me the names. And Pierce Brosnan is just, like, eating scenery, trying to hold things together and stuff. And it's, like, a lot of backstory that goes around, but it, like, makes sense. Like, everyone has their own agenda. Everyone has their own plan. It's, you would definitely have to pay attention. It's not like a movie you go watch in the background. And you wouldn't think when the previews, it was, like, that dense story-wise. It's almost like how Atomic Blonde was, but this story makes sense more than Atomic Blonde's story made sense.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking up while you're talking. He has been in R-rated movies, but I couldn't find one over here. Crime Story was one, but that's not an American movie. Most of the rest of these are all PG-13.
Yeah.
So
and you know how you see the scene in the previews with him with a gun, and you wonder, like, is that fake or is that deflection or something like that? No, he really has a gun. He's really shooting people. So yeah, that scene is like, it's from the movie, and it's like, it doesn't show how awesome that scene is. So I would definitely recommend it. It's one of those movies they don't really make anymore, kind of like old school action movie that doesn't have a big budget and is just like competently done, has a good director, good stars, and a good story.
I'm surprised that the marketing didn't say anything about the director. I don't know if that holds a lot of weight now, if it's not you know, Spielberg or Scorsese, someone like that. But he directed decent movies. He directed movies that made money, so it'd be kind of weird that he wouldn't be front and center, because Pierce Brosnan, I mean, regardless of what you think about him, he's famous, but he's not popular, if that makes sense. He's not a box office draw at all. So Jackie Chan was, but I can't...
I mean, he's you know, the funny thing, I didn't mean to interrupt you, like,
that's right.
You would be one, because I was telling Darlene this, so like, last year, he was like the second, like, most highly paid movie star in the world. Like, Jackie Chan...
Yeah, nothing over here. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, Jackie Chan still works. He just doesn't really do stuff over here. Like, even that movie he did with Johnny Knoxville, Slip Trace, made a whole bunch of money. And it's kind of like, it's where he's still popular, but he doesn't do stuff over here anymore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, this is more like a serious version of him. Which makes sense, because he's like, I wanted to say 60, 61. Like he looks it too. Like he, because you've seen all the stunts he's done. Like he looks like he's like, you see every year of his age and his face, and he definitely plays as much as he does the action. His drama part works.
Yeah, he's 63, by the way.
Yeah, like he doesn't have a lot of lines, and it's funny where it's almost like two separate movies going on, but they both mold together. Like he's doing his stuff. And then Pierce Brosnan doing stuff with, like, everybody else. And then every now and then, they just run into each other. But it works.
Yeah, like I said, even Elise said she was interested, too. And just one, because we haven't seen Jackie Chan over here that much anymore. And his movies started to get a little over here, which I don't blame him for going back overseas. And, you know, probably making more money over there, too. I would think, at least. You know.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money.
Yeah. And the audience over here, because I remember they had, you know, Jackie Chan was doing his stuff, and what was it, Shanghai Nights 1 and 2? No, Shanghai Nights, and what was the second one called?
It was Shanghai Noon, and then Shanghai Nights.
And then, of course, Rush Hour.
Yeah, which was making, that's where he's making his money from. And that's where, like, Rumble in the Bronx was, like, the first big movie, like 90s wise, where a lot of people saw him, like American. And then most people know him from like Rush Hour, like the Shanghai New movies. And they're actually talking about doing like a Rush Hour 4, and like at first it's like they make money, so it's basically, it's kind of like, you know, he's down for it, it's just up to Chris Tucker.
What's he doing nowadays, to be completely honest?
Hey, like he was in Silver Linings Playbook, was the last big thing I saw him in. Before that, it was like Rush Hour 3, and then it was like he did Rush Hour 2, he didn't do anything else, then he did Rush Hour 3, then he was like in Silver Linings Playbook, and then, I don't know, and paying the IRS. It's like...
Is he another one that had tax problems?
He paid them off. It's like, you know, he didn't have to go to jail. It's like, oh, he didn't pay his taxes, so he just wrote him a check. Because he made enough money from Rush Hour 2 where it's like, So
he got lucky he had the money, dumbass. Just
a lot of people, you'd be surprised. It's funny how...
No, I wouldn't be surprised if people don't pay tax, actually.
No, you know what it is? It's not, it's more, people with money tend to always have tax issues. Poor people don't play with the tax, man.
Yeah.
Because they just, like, worst come to worst, they just get, you know, a lien on their payments and stuff like that. It's these rich people, oh, I forgot to pay $6 million in taxes. How you forget to pay $6 million in taxes? Like, that's always, that's hilarious. If I forgot to pay $30, it's noticeable. They'll send you a letter saying, you know, you owe us $30. So that's $30.
Well, and that's the thing is, what did, I almost said Denzel, not going to slander that.
Wesley Snipes?
Yes. What did he do exactly?
He got bad advice from his accountant. His accountant basically said it's some type of loophole that you can do to avoid paying this. And for whatever reason, Wesley was like, okay. Because it's like, it's loopholes to be done, but not that way. So that's what happened. Bad financial advice. That's what happened most of the time. It's like, oh, you know, we can do this and do this and that. And you got to have good accountants to do that. And he didn't have a good enough accountant to pull that off.
All right, so I probably already know the answer. Did anything happen to his accountant? Do we know? Because I would immediately be like, you know what? You hire this man to do a job. He didn't do that job. Yeah, you messed up. But, I mean, of course, if they just didn't believe him, then that's a big part of it too. But
I think
they put that accountant in jail.
Yeah, I think he may have, but it wasn't like his account was. You only hear about stuff like that when it's like Madoff level, when it's somebody like he fought a whole bunch of people, and that's funny. Still thinking about like the Mets are still haven't recovered from that, their ownership. And how long ago did that happen? That's still an issue. So it's only, you only hear about accounts of like when this is big time. Other than that, you just hear about the star, like how did he trust that? Yeah. And it's funny how we got to that level talking about Jackie Chan.
Well, I mean, well, yeah, from, I almost say Chris Rock, which is kind of the norm. We all went to Chris Tucker and then all the way over. But so that's cool. I mean, I always liked Jackie Chan. I don't think he got enough credit for being, he was always like the comedic kung fu guy. And then Jet Li came along, replaced him, and he went back overseas too, right? He went back home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, well, except for Expendables.
Yeah, like these guys are old. Like they got older. Like Jet Li was always like, he was kind of like more assholeless, if that makes sense. Like he always had like a more of an edge to him. And he did this thing. Like, you know, Jackie Chan was always like lovable and everything and like comedic. And then it's kind of like, you know, you forget that one. He can act like he's super athletic. He's super trained. Like he was around when Bruce Lee was still around.
Yeah, you forget about that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, he was in like Enter the Dragon. How long ago was that? That movie came out in the '70s. And it's like when you think of Jackie Chan, you think about, you know, he's funny, he does all his own stunts, even stuff he has no business doing. And yeah, like the only time you really see him, like, He does more drama stuff now because he's getting older. But before, the only time you see something dramatic with him was if you saw Karate Kid, which I know it sounds ridiculous, but I know a lot of people say he should have got like nominated for like a supporting act. He was, no matter what people think of that movie, he was awesome in that movie. Like, he played the hell out that damn role. And that's the first time I was like, wow, he can really act. And not just like, you know, comic act or like physical actor, like he could do the drama stuff. And it's surprising where, and like Van Damme was the same way, like people you didn't think of had it in them. And I guess you got to get to a certain age and it's like, oh wow.
Well, yeah, especially what's the show coming out soon with Van Damme? We both like the pilot for
Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yeah, that they've called that the series. So I like the premise, and it's funny with him being older that, yeah, he can't rely on all that stuff. And then, well, also, you know, ruining himself, sort of, with drugs and everything else. But
I think that is in a funny way, that adds to it because it gives him more experience, and it helps us. Like, when you see him, you can tell, like, this is a man that's been through stuff.
Yes.
Like, just looking at his, like, looking at Van, like, both of their faces, especially Van Damme, is like, he was somebody that used to be super handsome. You could tell he used to be super handsome. It's like now, like, he's been through hell, and he's like, you can, like, his face just looks like he's been through the damn road. And the advantage that he has that Seagal doesn't is that Van Damme can laugh at himself, and like Van Damme knows his flaws. Seagal is delusional.
I don't know why you'd say that. Seagal seems like a perfectly sane individual to me. Oof. Is it? Yeah, because he. I mean, I was going to say, we also need some heroes back in Hollywood, because the two who will not be named are the only two we have left, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice, because Jean-Claude, I think, had some problems back in the 80s, too, right?
He,
I think?
But as far as, like, I know he has some, he used to get in fights with people. I think it might have been some domestic stuff with, like, his current wife. Because I know he got married, I think the wife he's married to now, they were married, they got divorced, he married somebody else, and then he remarried his first wife. So,
a little aside here, can you imagine that?
I mean, there's been movies like that, but it's just funny just thinking, like, you know, let's try this again. It's weird, because it's kind of like, that normally doesn't happen, but then the funny thing is, like, how well The Rock and his ex-wife get along.
Yeah, I know there's always exceptions, but it just, that blows my mind. Like, I guess I don't get it. I guess I'm not that forgiving. Or maybe, you know what, maybe he was the one that messed up and she never stopped carrying the torch. So I gotta look at it that way, too. But
yeah, and like a lot of cases, it's kind of like, you know, he grew up and, like, you know, she was, like, they people, you might not have been ready the first time, you're ready the second time. So, yeah. But anyway, it's like, I would say, you know, that movie, I would definitely recommend it. And it's kind of like, it reminded me of The Accountant, where another movie that was like a lot better than I thought it'd be. And it's kind of, and we've been getting more of those movies, like we always come, like those movies that's like in the middle. Because before it's been like, it plays the whole thing like how a decade of movie, like, if you're not real big, you almost like Netflix level. Like, it's like, it's no middle movies. It's like either you real cheap, like the horror movies tend to be, or the Tyler Perry movies tend to be, and make profits, or you got this super duper budget. And that whole middle ground, like, you know, make a movie for like $30 to $60 million, you don't really see that too much anymore, because it's like the profit is not necessarily there. Like, you're not going to spend $60 million to think you might make like 105.
Yeah.
And then on Blu-ray, it's like you'll spend $20 million to do that, but $60 million, like, you might as well spend 100 to try to make 400 or 500.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think, because when you mentioned Seagal, I don't want to let that go. Because with everything that's going on right now surrounding Hollywood, which, you know, we're not going to, we don't need to get into, but the fact that now, well, I mean, I guess I'll kind of get into it, but now people are coming out saying that Steven Seagal was doing things to them too. And I was like, do you not have the internet and you've never heard of the stories before the internet came out about what a piece of shit Steven Seagal was?
You mean when he had the woman kidnapped, like locked up in his basement?
Hey, listen,
like
everyone makes mistakes, man. So
yeah, I've left my wallet at home. I've never had a slave in my house. So,
but and then he didn't even get in trouble for it.
You know why?
Did he pay her off, or did he just get out of it?
He just got out of it because there's this whole. That happened to a lot of people. Like, oh, this is too crazy to be true. That's the thing about this, is not the fact that it's coming out. It's the fact that a lot of stuff is like, people heard about, like, the Kevin Spacey stuff. I heard about plenty of stuff with him. And it's kind of like, nobody paid a big deal about it. It's like, oh, yeah, it's there. But nobody, like, it wasn't any, no one, like, got on TV or no one, like, got on the internet and said, yes, this person did this. Before, it's kind of like, you hear stories about such and such. I heard this guy was like this. That Brett Ratner thing, Olivia Munn talked about that in her book. And everybody kind of brushed it off, like laughed it off, like, oh, he just looked like a slob, you know. They focus on, like, you know, he had butt on his fingers eating shrimp with no shirt on. Not the fact that he was like a sexual creep. So, like, it's like a lot of the stuff people talked about, and when they first talked about it, nobody paid attention or nobody cared, or they like didn't think it was a big deal. And then now it's like, oh, I guess it really was a big deal.
Yeah, and I wonder if her star power at the time wasn't big enough.
Probably.
You know, and that's another thing. It's like, it's because you're not hearing, like, major stars, which I, you know what I mean, but you're not hearing, I mean, some, but.
Angelina Jolie counts, and
yeah,
he?
No, that's why, that's when I started that sentence. I knew it was the wrong wording, but it's always, most of these are, seemingly at least, lower level people who don't have that voice. And like Rose McGowan, I know, has come out and said stuff, because at one time Rose McGowan was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she fell off, and I know she's kind of a weirdo too, but being a weirdo, I guess doesn't automatically mean you don't get believed, but I mean,
yeah, you can see why she'd be a weirdo. It's funny where it's kind of like women say all the time, if women in Hollywood have a reputation for being like difficult and crazy, sometimes it's drugs, normally it's men. Like, it's a reason for that. And we always kind of brush it aside, like, oh, they act like this, it must be something off. But we never wonder, like, why. And then you kind of find out, oh, you know, yeah, they like that because they got raped and nobody believed them. I guess I'd be crazy too. Like, if yeah. Like, if that, yeah, like, if that happened, like, and people say, why didn't they say anything? It's, no, who was it? Daryl Hannah put out perfectly. She said, I said something and nobody believed me.
Oh, see, I don't know about Daryl Hannah stuff.
It was wine.
Which would make sense because she fell off the face of the world too.
It was wine seeing stuff during like Kill Bill when he was showing up at the door trying to break in her room and all that and everything.
Oh, I didn't read anything about that.
And she told people what's happening, and they left. like she was supposed to be on a plane to go because they was like a European tour and they left her. Like she had to find her own way home. Like wow. That's the whole thing. Like, yeah, you tell people something going on and they blame you for it. Like, oh, we doing publicity now. You messing it up. Not, oh, we need to do something.
You know, it's funny because that would make sense why she never got another like prominent role after that. She got some small roles, but she was really good in Kill Bill.
And it's funny, like because it's kind of like, even Michael Madsen was still getting stuff. David Carradine started doing stuff again. Uma Thurman was doing stuff for a little while. She didn't do nothing. And like Daryl Hannah's, like she did those, and then she didn't do squat. And you always wonder, like, what happened? Like all these actresses, like, oh, they were in there, and then for like 6-7 years, they didn't get a role, and people are like, oh, what happened? That's what happened. They spoke out. And it's like, shut up. You're not going to work. And now you know why people, they say, well, why didn't they speak out? That's why. Like, it's different if you starting off and it's like, you didn't get the roles. Like, maybe I don't need to be in Hollywood. I'm going to do something else. But, like, you working or you see someone that's, like, famous and they're working, having a career. They're getting nominated for stuff. And then they speak out and then they don't work for 6 years. It's like, the bills don't stop for 6 years. And, like, if they don't listen to her and she's famous and well-known, why are they going to listen to me? I'm a nobody.
Yeah, that's funny. It's just funny about the Daryl Hannah stuff, man. Because I honestly, it makes total sense now. Yeah. Like why?
A lot of it's funny. Like, a lot of these stories kind of like match up with the time frame where you realize, yeah, you can. A lot of this stuff makes sense, and you realize why. Like why such and such used to have a role, and then they don't have it anymore. Why such and stuff stopped working. And like now you know, it's like they spoke out against this system, and the system will rather protect the people that's like up top. Yeah, like Tarantino says, like Tarantino put it perfect. Like I knew what was going on, but I was too afraid to say anything because that's my friend, and I didn't want to like rock the boat. Like, and it's, I mean, yeah, it's like a lot of people like that. It's like you Quentin Tarantino, Harvey Weinstein's probably the reason why you working. And that's your homie. It's like, yeah, I know it's wrong, but it's hard to speak out against your friend, even when your friend doing something wrong. Like, I know it's easier said than done.
No, but most you're of right. Time, I'm not going to argue that.
But it's like, yeah, but most of the time, it's tough. It's like, even I know, it's like, yeah, but that's, you know, is it really, like, you know, I know it's that bad, but is it really that bad? It was like, even if you see it with your own eyes, it's kind of like you brush it off or you don't believe it. It's like a disconnect. And it's a lot of that disconnect going on. And before we move on to something else, remember all that stuff with Bryan Singer?
Yeah, and that kind of just went away too.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's kind of like he lucked out because if that's – and the whole thing is like people saying, oh, the person being vindictive. And everybody was getting on because they wanted to see an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of like shut it up. But it was like that was like – that stuff was vicious. And then like it came out. And then it vanished, and nobody talked about it anymore. And it was kind of like, not it vanished because it was fake. It was like it vanished because people just brushed it under the rug.
Didn't that actually go to trial though, or it went to court,
and it got dismissed, right? Yeah, it got dismissed. It, like they threw the case out. Hmm. But people were saying like, you know, this isn't the first time this happened. He has a reputation for doing this, but you know, hey, when people like it's kind of like it's funny like all this. I know you say you're not surprised, and I'm not surprised. It's just, I'm just like, I hope it's not people. And I know it's unfair to think
don't
it's
say
itself,
the names,
but whatever.
We agreed not to say those.
No,
names.
Not even a name. Not even say those names. I just hope it's not people I like.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I was getting at. Yes, don't say those names.
Yeah. So like, not even just them. Just in general, it's like each day you hear people, and I haven't heard one person who said they were falsely accused. They either say, you know, I don't remember, or I'm sorry. If I hurt somebody, I'm sorry. All of them. And the only time Harvey Weinstein defended himself was when Lupita came out and said something. Which is, it's funny about that. Like, all these other 90-something plus women, and you was like, I got no comment, I need therapy, stuff like that. She said something, oh, nah, it didn't come out that way. How about that? Like, it's funny, like, you know, even when you go on, even during sexual assault, you got enough time to play the race card. Like, oh, well, you know, she was mistaken. No one else was, like, Angelina Jolie wasn't mistaken. Gwyneth Paltrow wasn't mistaken. None of these other women were mistaken, except for this one. And it's just, it's just amazing. Like each day, it seemed like somebody else, and it's like one or two people. Oh, and their whole thing. Like I read the stuff. Who was it? Andy Dick or something like that.
Andy Dick. Like seriously, of course.
Licking some. I was kind of like, what makes you think you could just lick somebody's face? Come on, that's just how I greet people. Yeah. What?
This is not a defense, but Andy Dick has been a disaster for 20 years. So this is literally the last guy on this list that I'm going to go, are you kidding me? It's like, yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking degenerate, drug addict degenerate. And I understand that that doesn't go hand in hand, but I'm going to say 95% of the time it does.
Yeah, you know? I'm not necessarily surprised he's on the list. I'm just surprised that he had the gall to just... It's... I don't have that thought process.
Like, licking people's faces is my thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's kind of like, that's disgusting. Like, and it's kind of like, I can see why men do that. Like, harass women, like, rope them, everything like that. Because it's an ego thing, it's a power thing. And if you're not going to get in trouble, being a bully is easy. But that, some of that disgusting stuff is like, let me rub butter on you and all that stuff. It's like, that's just, ugh. That's like, what do you, and it's sad. And that's the reason why I talk about, like, you know, it's natural. It happens. It sucks that it happens. And it sucks where, you know, it had to get to this point. And I don't even remember how, like, the Weinstein stuff, like, came. Because it's like, we heard stuff about Weinstein for years. And it's like, all of a sudden, a report came out. And it just, it's funny how this happened. Like, you know, same thing with Bill Cosby. It'd be one report that'd just be a snowball, and it just, you know, back in the day, you hear a story and nobody cared, and now this particular one you heard, and it's affecting everybody, and that's why all these people came out. Like, pay attention to all the people who were defending him and the way they defended. Like, there's a reason they were saying the stuff they said, like, because I don't want my name coming out, because I know I did some stuff too, and that's how it came off. It's like, yeah, all of these men who were defending Harvey Weinstein was partially doing it kind of like they wanted to cover their own dirt. And I like how Tom Hanks came out. People say, oh, you know, I came from a different time. Tom Hanks was like, I came from that time too. I ain't doing none of this shit. Like, we don't, you know, like, it's wrong is wrong. Don't blame this whole, back in the day it was right. Like, no. Because it's like, you wouldn't say that about lynching. Like, yeah, back in the day we used to lynch people. That's why I still do it.
One, it's Tom Hanks, so... Yeah, none of the names we don't want to name. So, yeah. You know.
What? Voldemort.
yeah, they're in a good way, they're the Voldemorts. And we're going to not name the other guys. So, and what we mean is there are still heroes of Hollywood, we hope. So, anyways, on a more positive note, Fast and the Furious, dude, that's pretty cool. Maybe he can bring some harmony back to the project, but Justin Lin is on his way back. He's going to do, what, 9 and 10? The last,
yes.
Supposedly, the last two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they like money, though, so...
I mean, yeah, but they're getting old.
True, yeah, but... I don't know how this is going to help, other than he's the guy that made all those guys rich.
Yeah.
And in like, a way, he helped The Rock, too, by putting him in, what, number 5?
Number 5.
Four. Right. So...
I mean,
he took the franchise in a totally different direction, too.
Yeah, like, anyone that knows, like, he probably knows this franchise better than anybody else, because it's kind of like, the franchise, the way it is now, is that way because of him, and because of the choices he made. So, if anybody's going to, like, kind of like, it's funny you say, like, right the ship, it's not like the ship is really sinking or anything like that, because right. Even if the last one made less than, even though Fast 8 made less than Fast 7, it still made over $1 billion. Like, it still made money, it still was successful. It was just like all this noise surrounding it, and it was kind of like tough with, like, you know, Paul Walker not being there and The Rock and Vin Diesel having their issues. So
yeah, and that's what I meant by writing the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, he left because he didn't have enough time to do it. Like, he didn't have enough time to do Fast 7, which is why he left. And then it's funny, like, the Star Trek he did was the best one and made the least amount of money, which is hilarious. Like, it's hilarious how that happened. So he definitely knows action. He definitely knows the characters. It's like, and Universal can definitely wait, especially they're doing the spinoff anyway. So, yeah, like, it's definitely a win. And it's kind of like, if anybody's going to finish what they started, let it be the guy that's the reason why it's a success. And, of course, you're going to get the jokes like, you know, one, he going to find a way to bring Han back because that was his character in the first place. And two, they're gonna somehow end up in space.
We made the same jokes when the last one came out, but I hope not. But it would be fitting. I don't know. It'd be.
I mean, it's only so many things you can be. It's only so many things you can do, and only so many places. I mean, they're not gonna let them ride up a pyramid. They've been on mount. They've rolled down mountains. They fought submarines, tanks, helicopters. They've been all over the world, and they're not gonna be they're not gonna be underwater. So it's like, what's left?
We got plane, jets. Like,
they've had the stuff on a plane, like the stuff with Jason Statham and Luke Evans, and you know, they took down a plane in like Fast 6. So they've done planes. So,
picture them. What's funny about that statement is, I was actually like, was it 6? You know, that's actually not a thought you're supposed to have. When you say like, yeah, well, you know, they fought a jet plane in this one, you're like, are you sure that wasn't this one? Like the absurdity of that these cars mm-hmm. took down a submarine in the last one.
Yeah, like which one was the one they fought a jet? Like, oh, the same one they fought against a tank. Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah. And it's like, you know, they're not going to become fighter pilots because even suspension of disbelief only goes so far.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious to see what they do. I'm curious to see who comes back and who are like the, you know, we're at the point now where villains, they're casting people that are big enough stars that they're not necessarily going to like kill them off. And the funny thing is like when you think of the biggest villains, like the best villain they had, it's probably like Vin Diesel and The Rock. Like Vin Diesel in Fast 1 and The Rock in Fast 5, like the two best villains. And then Statham.
Well, they also had Charlize Theron. And Charlize Theron was just okay. She wasn't in it that much. Although,
I mean, she did murder people. Yeah. She was the first woman villain. She's probably the most ruthless villain they had, and she was the first woman one. But it was kind of like, it just felt odd. Like, you know, you used to seeing villains like they're drug dealers and stuff. And not to derail the thing, one thing bothered me about Fast 5, because I was just watching it. Okay, the drug dealer guy, like Reyes, he's this big-time businessman and drug dealer in Rio. He only got $100 million in cash? Like, that's it? Like, I didn't think about that until I was watching. I'm like, hold up. And you know why I thought about it? Because I was watching Narcos. I'm like, they making that a day. Now, I know he's not like Escobar level, or he's not like, you know, the Cali cartel, but I'm like, Rio's a big place. He's like the main dude in Rio. That's all he got? Like $100 million? Like, Kevin Garnett has more than that. Like, to put in perspective. Like, it seemed like a lot of money until I thought about it. I was like, that's not a lot of money for somebody like at his level.
Yeah, I know, well, weird. I don't know. Well, most of my drug traffic history comes from Narcos now, and then now Pablo mm-hmm. Escobar documentaries. So I'm not sure, like, how much of that is still big business, and maybe it was like the Escobar stuff where they were just burying it, and they got you know, just kind of forgot.
Yeah, like maybe that's like the most money he had, like that's cash at that time. But it just seemed like, you know, not a lot. Like, especially like, you know, we're gonna get all the money together, put it in one place. I think like, you know, 250. You know, it is Rio. It's, you know, it's like 250. Not like he going to have $500 million or he going to be a billionaire. But I think he had like more than like a, you know, he'd have more money than like Ben Roethlisberger. Or something like that to put perspective. Or like, you know, a relief pitcher on the Yankees. Like, I would think he had more money than like a Rodas Chapman or something like that. But, you know, I don't know why that went in my head. And you can tell I watched that movie too much. But like that definitely popped in my head where it seemed like that was a small change.
Well, if he had too much, then he couldn't have one safe.
True.
Maybe that's why. I mean, although, could you imagine there were two of them? Oh, my God. The insanity of that movie. That would have been... God, that would have been cool. Anyways, get off subject there. But, but it doesn't... I guess it won't matter much, really, the hard feelings. Because if they're still going through with that Hobbs and Shaw movie... You know, because they pushed it back, what, to 2020? No,
they push Fast 9 back a year, so it's will be 2019. They push it back to 2020, and the spinoff movies will come out 2019.
No, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah,
give us some breathing room. It's like, I don't know if too many people, it made a lot of money, but the last one, I don't know how well received it was.
I think people had, like, from all the people I heard, they said they liked it, but it had, like, a harsh feeling about it. And I've kind of felt the same way where I liked it, but it just seemed, like, almost a little too negative. Because I think it was just, like, you know, nobody wants to see people get shot. And nobody, I don't think anybody really wanted to see Vin Diesel, even though him being the bad guy for half the movie was, like, interesting. I don't think people go to see those movies to see him be a bad guy. Like, not at this point. So, yeah, like, that, it was... And I think the stuff going on between The Rock and Vin Diesel probably affected it more, too. Because it's kind of like, you know, first it's like, okay, maybe it's just Hollywood beef or it's less fake there to add suspense like they did with UFC. But then watching the movie, it's almost kind of like you almost felt it. Like, even watching, like, they not in the movie that much. And everything just seemed like it had, like, a sharp aftertaste to it.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like it wasn't fun. With violent stuff, it seemed like it was violent with some fun stuff. Like, that's, it kind of, like, pushed too much toward the violence and less toward the fun.
Yeah, and I think what was, well, first giving Dom a kid was kind of weird, but then just straight up murdering his girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that...
Yeah.
That was harsh stuff. And, then,
putting up, and I know, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad, because, okay... Michelle Rodriguez's character in that series, she should have murdered Dom by now. No one has been treated worse than she has. Because if you think about it, like, you know, she's in a life of crime because of him. And then they have to leave the country and everything like that. He abandons her, you know, in, what was it, Dominican or anything like that. Beginning of Fast Forward, because, like, I got to take the heat off. So he leaves her there. She goes undercover to try to clear his name. Almost dies, loses her memory, and he, like, oh, okay, she dead. Moves on, gets a new girl. Soon as he sees her, Michelle Rodriguez again, kicks Elena to the curb, but not before having a baby. And then all of a sudden, bringing this baby here, like, oh, y'all know we talked about kids and everything like that. I don't know when we'll have them, but in the meantime, say hello to your new stepson, like. Dominic Toretto is like the Hulk Hogan of that franchise. Like, he's horrible. When you really, you can talk about family and we sticking together, everything like that. You look at all the choices he's made and how many people has affected, like, all of them, and most of, like, in a negative way. Like, how many people has he directly, indirectly led to their death?
Well, I mean, Han, I guess.
Han, Giselle, Elena, like, all, he basically had Brian lose his career. The Rock basically became a renegade because of him. He almost died multiple times. Like, all this stuff, because they stole money. Like, Fast Five basically started because Dominic Toretto wouldn't be a dumbass. And, like, I know we got the job to still take these cars, but Mia, you take this car that he said he's going to take, but don't drive where he told you to go. Meet me at the crib. What you doing? Like, what? Like, no one... I know it's like, it's the father movie, but it's kind of like, Fast Five basically start because Dominic Toretto was being a doofus, and then it continues because he's being greedy.
Yeah, and then, well, it almost ended the series because he was being kind of greedy too, but... Eh, whatever. So yeah, I'll be curious to see how it turns out, and hopefully for the better, and...
I think it will be.
And we'll see. I don't know. I know we wanted to talk about Captain Marvel, Shazam. What else was there, though? We had something else before we got into that.
We didn't really have a big template for this show, because I know we caught up on our shows for the most part. Yeah, we might as well talk about this Captain Marvel thing, because we saw the same thing. It's kind of like, huh? So...
Okay, I don't have any problem with the actor or the person, Zachary Levi, but... Huh? I pulled up his credits before we started, because I really liked Chuck. It took a while to get going, but once it did, it was really good, and then they ended the series, because it was getting canceled, and it had a good ending, and it was just like, alright, cool. And then they brought it, you know, inexplicably brought it back, because... of people online saying they wanted it, but then no one watched it again. And that's really all he's famous for. He's done some voice work, obviously. He was also in the Thor movies as Fandral. Two of them. He wasn't in Dark World. Oh, yeah, he was in Dark World. I guess he must have made a walkthrough.
He replaced... Yeah, he was in the second one. I think he replaced who was in the first one. Mm. I think they changed casting with that. Yeah. Because he was... Yeah, whatever one he was in, he wasn't in the other one. Because they changed casting between the two movies.
That's right. I had it backwards. I had it wrong. I thought he was in the first, wasn't in the second, and came back for the third. So, yeah, that makes sense. I'm looking at his credits. It's a lot of voice stuff, and you know, famously, he was in oh my goodness, what's the big one with the kids? Tangled.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. He was in the Lego movie as a voice. He was in the Lego Jurassic World. That was it.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Really?
Yeah, it just popped up when I clicked on his name. I'm about to double check and see. Yeah,
he was Toby in the oh my god, the Squeakle. I know. I don't have kids. Yeah. And I'm not watching that garbage. So, but yeah. So, trying to stay positive about it, but I don't get it. And he even said, everyone was like, "Well, what are you going to do?" He's like, "Well, this is my last post because I'm going to be living in the gym 24 hours a day now." And I'm thinking, yeah, I guess. I mean, he's not a small dude, but he ain't exactly, like, Captain Marvel is supposed to be a big dude. I mean, I guess if Henry Cavill can do it to be Superman.
But Henry Cavill is big. Even when he wasn't Superman size, when he was on the Tudors, you can tell, like, he had, like, height and, like, yeah, like height and like width. True. And like the same thing like Ben Affleck is like, you know, even before with the weight, you can tell like he's not a small looking guy. And
right. And
I know it's kind of like anybody can get in shape because you saw what Chris Pratt looked like. And I know people talk about Jim from The Office, how he used to look and how he looks now. It's like you can hit a gym membership. But Zachary Levy's kind of small. And then I know The Rock's not going to be in this one, but sooner or later they're going to be together. Like, he's going to be standing next to The Rock. The Rock ain't small. So, yeah that's
yes.
going to and that's going to be a contrast. It's like, we go toe-to-toe with Black Adam, and The Rock looks the size he looks, and Zachary Levy looks how he looks. It's like, you're going to look at one, you're going to look at the other, and then you're going to be like, something don't look right.
Here's one of the reasons I think they cast him, though. Depending on what version of Captain Marvel they go with, which we'll get to that in a second, the run I remember, because I'm obviously not old enough to remember Fawcett comics from the 50s, and I've never gone back to read them. The classic iteration for me was when he was in Justice League International in America. He was the, I think, 10-year-old? I think he's 10. Because for those who don't know, Captain Marvel is a 10-year-old kid bestowed with the powers of, oh boy, Shazam stands for a bunch of gods. I don't care to name them. Well, he meets the wizard Shazam, utters the magic word of Shazam, gets hit with a lightning bolt, and turns into Captain Marvel, who's basically a version of Superman, but it's a 10 to 12-year-old kid that's Superman. And in Justice League, that was how they portrayed him. And everyone thought he was just kind of like this goofy dude. Because he was kind of naive, kind of innocent, and all this. And that's the one that a lot of people grew up reading and be like, this guy's great. And that's where the holy moly came from. That was his catchphrase. And he's got his, like, goofy side characters. You know, Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr. And then, was it Tawny? The Talking Tiger. So there's all those elements of, like, goofy fantasy there. And I think that Zachary Levi can actually do that. That's why. And that's what I'm hoping that this character is, because, frankly, we haven't seen him do too much serious stuff outside of Chuck, if you ever watch that. So, I don't know. It's a hard property, man. And I just don't know.
Yeah. It's funny, we've been saying that a lot. And even, like, the characters, like, Henry Cavill came in and said, like, even if Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe wasn't a thing, we still didn't do it right. And it's, like, it's stuff that we need to fix, and hopefully, at least it's kind of like they're being honest about it. Like, you know, it's, we messed up, and it's stuff that needs to be fixed. Like, Gal Gadot say, you know, the storyline from Batman versus Superman doesn't fit the character for Wonder Woman, so we basically ignored it.
I think that's real ballsy to do, too. I mean, to just,
you might as well.
No, I agree with you. But it's like, you don't hear that very often. It's, well you got to make do with it. And they're like, no, we're going to fix it.
Yeah. Like, or because it's funny, like, you can either be like Marvel or you can be like Fox. Fox is at the point where, you know what, we just tell a story and whatever. The hell with continuity. Marvel can be everything fits because they've been doing that from the first place. But it's hard with DC where you try to have it both ways. It's like, just tell your stories. And like, if you tell a good movie, no one will care, to be perfectly honest. Like, the fans may say they care. It's like, whatever. You saw how much Deadpool made. You saw how much Logan made. Neither one of them really fit in the storylines. Deadpool made fun of the damn time streams and the time frame, stuff like that. But no one cared because it was a good movie. So acknowledge your mistakes, realize you made the mistakes, and then go with it. And this one, I'm still, this whole thing is kind of like, they just need to slow down. Knock out Justice League, knock out Aquaman. And even then, they said it's kind of like, you know, the reason why they kind of slowed down with stuff with the Flash is they want to see how well Justice League does.
Yeah, well, also, isn't the Flash movie is going to be called Flashpoint. And, you know, that's where it starts the speculation that, hey, things are getting reset. And maybe that's how they're going to start changing the stuff. Which, that's fine. So, but as long as they change it for the positive. Like, we don't need a gruff Wonder Woman, you know?
Yeah, like, you got Batman to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't need Wonder Woman. Like, the whole thing is, like, you got all these stuff, like, you know, you got Deathstroke, and the director is a good name, and the eighth line slice, like... Yeah, that's walk before you try to run. You trying to run before your feet's fully developed. It's like, slow down. It's no rush. It'll be there. It shouldn't be that hard to make these movies with these characters. Why is it so hard to make? I don't even want to keep going to it. Making Batman should be easy. It's Batman. Like, you don't need to be Christopher Nolan level. Just don't be Joel Schumacher level, and you'd be all right. So. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
like it's funny we keep saying that with DC. Like, we'll see. Been our answer.
Yeah, because it's honestly, it hasn't been rewarded yet, you know. And if it would have been a more interesting appeal if Marvel would have come out and fell on their face immediately. Like, you know, honestly, go back into that world, and if Iron Man stinks, oof.
I mean, you don't have a Marvel Universe. And because it's funny, Iron Man being great basically hit the fact that Incredible Hulk wasn't all that good. Iron Man 2 was disappointing. And even the first Thor was like, yeah. Like, Iron Man 1 gave him enough goodwill to make it to Captain America. And Captain America was kind of good enough to make it to the Avengers. But it's not like they knocked out like four straight movies. They got the first one right, messed up the next two, was average with the third one, and then lucked out again with Captain America. And then once they got to the Avengers, it's kind of like, okay, we're cool now.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about Captain America, because I know there's a lot of people that don't like Captain America, the original one. And, I mean, it wasn't like mind-blowing or anything, but I thought it was solid, and I thought it was a solid introduction to the character.
Yeah. I think it's the fact the character himself is kind of like, one, it's a period piece, and I know a lot of people don't like those type of things. And then two, the character is corny. Like, the movie is good, but Captain, you watch that movie, you see the costume he wearing. It's kind of like, even the one he wearing in Avengers, like, he looked like he wearing pajamas to Halloween. Like, he looks like a goofball. It just works because Chris Evans just plays the hell out of that damn role. And they play it, and they take it like, they don't play it for a joke. They play it straight. That's the reason why it works.
Yes, and that's where the Marvel stuff has come into where they're actually, they have the right blend of serious to go along with the Well, we know this stuff is absurd, guys. You know, so I don't know. I'm not going to bring up Justice League, like, to talk about it, but really looking forward to that. The commercials still give me pause. Thor looks like that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully it's not too much fun, if that makes sense. It's goofy as hell, but
people have been
just want some drama, though. Like, don't sacrifice the drama for. But he's also invulnerable for the most part. I mean, if the worst thing she does is break his hammer, I don't know. Like,
I mean, here's the thing with, like, Thor. Even when they had drama, people didn't like the drama part. They were like, this is dour. Like, people died in the second Thor, and they're like, oh, okay. So what? You know, it's kind of like, and I know a lot of kids say, oh, you know, it's too much fun. It's almost like Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's like, I'll never get mad at a movie being fun, because we got plenty of movies that's going to be dour. And, like, you got Captain America for that, first of all. And it ain't like Black Panther going to be like a barrel of laughs itself either. Like,
I
so.
I didn't think of that, actually. Yeah, that could be the big one where it's like the. I guess I'll just go with drama again, but like the heightened sense of, yeah, well, this is serious stuff.
And everything you've read about Infinity War is that it's also going to be serious. Like, the Russos came out basically like it's a heist movie starring Thanos.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a natural way to go. You think we're getting an Infinity trailer with Thor, or are we just going to get the Black Panther one again?
If they're going to get a trailer, it's going to be before. It'll be online first. So if we were going to get one, we would have got one by now. Because Thor is already out overseas. So I'm thinking if you have one, it will be right around the time before Last Jedi comes out.
Oh, didn't think of that one. Yep, that's got to be it. That has to be it.
You know, that'd be like, because that's a perfect, because that's when you're going to get eyeballs for it, like, you know, drop it online and then have it in the movie theater. So, because a lot of, they haven't, like, I go to movies now, they're still showing, like, the trailer, like, the teaser Black Panther trailer. They're not even showing, like, the official one yet in theaters yet.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second? Doesn't that drive you insane? You know, because I understand it's us, but they go, it's like Marvel, and you're like, and then that comes up, it's like, fuck yes, Black Panther, the new one. And then it's the one from the beginning of this year. You know, like,
I've seen it like six times. And not only it sucks where you see it online, it's like if you go to movies a lot, you'll see the same trailers over and over again to the point where you get tired of movies. Like, it was.
Yes. Yeah.
I just seen this. It was like, what was that? It was one movie. It's like, I got sick of seeing the trailer for. I don't even remember it anymore. But I know it's funny, like, people complain about how, oh, Wonder Woman barely got anything. And I remember when they started showing stuff, within a week, I almost got sick of it. Because I was watching Raw, and every commercial break is a Wonder Woman trailer. You watch the CW shows, every commercial break is a Wonder Woman trailer. Like, so if you watch certain networks, you see it like 9 or 10 times a damn day.
Yeah.
Every day. And it's like, I know it works because kind of like it bashes you in the head with it, but things kind of change. Like, social media, like, it's big. It's not the whole fact. Like, it's not that everybody's kind of like that. A lot of people go online to watch stuff now. There's still a lot of people that don't, but it's like, you know, this trailer has been watched 1 million times or 2 million times. Like, that's still a lot of damn views.
Yeah.
It's everybody, like, everyone has a cell phone, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of people that go on YouTube and see stuff. So it's like, the people that adapt to that change will be better off for it, both in shows and movies. And I still think a lot of people are trying to figure it out.
Now, while we're on the subject of the movies, what I was going to tell you beforehand is I was trying to find tickets for Thor. And, you know, I'm picky. I want to sit in a good seat. And you said, well, yeah, you know, it's expensive. We're paying money for this. There aren't a lot of showings for Thor, which surprised me. Like, the IMAX only had 2 showings all day. And they would have an IMAX 2D at, like, I'll say 1. I'm going to make the times up. And then they would have a 3D at 4. a 3D, an IMAX 3D at 4, IMAX 3D at 7, and then another IMAX 3D at 9:30, or an IMAX 2D at 9:30. Which I thought was very odd that they would take the 3D off of it, because the price does go down. The thing that got me is, there's obviously going to be a difference between a 3D movie and a 2D movie. No problem. I get that now. The AMC, the one that has like the primates there half the time, that's where I chose to go.
The humanoid.
Yeah, that's the where I should. Yeah, you know, that's, yeah, it's a little, I don't know, sometimes it's just not as harsh, but so I chose to go there, matinee show at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Anyone wants to join me? And it was between that and 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock didn't have the right seats that I wanted. 1 o'clock did. Cool. 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock are still matinee showings. 1 o'clock was more than the 4 o'clock. And I'm looking at the prices going, wait a minute, why is this? I didn't do 3D either. I just went 2D because probably should with this one, but oh well. I couldn't figure it out. And I'm paying $3 more for a show at 1 o'clock compared to the same theater at 4 o'clock. So I'm trying to figure out, and I've done no research into this, so probably stupid to bring it up, but are they charging, like, are they all reserved seating? That's the important part of this. Are they charging different prices per row now?
If you're close, is it less?
If you're further back, it's less. If you're in the middle, it's more. I was dumbfounded. And like I bought tickets for Justice League already, and the same thing happened. And I'm like, what's going on here? Because usually you go up to the box office, all right, $15 for IMAX or whatever it is, $18, I don't know. I use Fandango. Usually don't pay attention to the prices. And I just couldn't believe that. Like, that there was a pronounced difference in those that stuff. Just blew my mind. And I don't know, have you experienced anything like that?
No, I've never had that issue. Because I don't really do reserve seating as much as you do. Like my theater, we just show up.
Yeah, all the ones except for one around here are like that now.
Yeah, so...
Interesting, okay.
It's just... I don't know. Like, I don't do reserve seating, and I know it's kind of like ticket, kind of like, it's never been, it's, normally it's kind of like it'd be reversed. Like, if it's early in the day, it'd be cheaper than later.
That's
so that part, that's how it normally is. So that part's kind of like weird that that's a thing. So, I don't know. I can't call it. I know, you talked about that. I'm checking to see the theater times for myself. Can you tell me how many times it's not showing for you? And I'm about to see how many times.
Yeah, and this is citywide, too. None of the theaters have, like, usually a Marvel movie's got 3-4 theaters. Star Wars, same thing. Hell, even Wonder Woman had, like, 3 or 4. Thor's got 2 theaters in most of these places.
Yeah. I mean, it is Thursday, so... Like, normal, because I like, for me, it's like, you know, they got 2 3D showings and 3 regular showings. Which kind of makes sense, because really, the only movies I've seen that's had more than that are Star Wars. I remember having more, and I think it was like Fast 8 recently when it came out, it had like 5 or 6 showings on a Thursday. But normally, it's kind of like, you know, you're going to get the 7, 8, 9, 10, and 10:30. It's spruced out between. If it's 3D, you're going to get 2 different theaters. If it's 2D, you're just going to get 1.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. Yeah. But being Marvel, maybe because it's Thor, you know, it hasn't been the most popular, too. But because I was trying to figure out, like, what else is coming out that week, and there's nothing really catching up to it, so.
Yeah, like, everyone's kind of spaced out because Thor is coming out, and then it's going to be... Thor is going to be by itself until Justice League comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, we got time. What did you think of the shows this week so far? I am 1 episode behind on The Gifted. I will catch up with that so we can talk about that next week. So far, I'm enjoying the show, though.
So. Yeah. Okay, so... Supergirl got super emotional.
That ending?
Yeah, dude. I was like... Damn! Like, that was... they put Maggie through the damn ringer this season. Yeah. I'm like, you thought Kara had it wrong. It's like, because it's like, and they've been talking about what they like foreshadowing, like, you know, she's a guest star, so they got to find a way to break it up, but have it wasting naturally. And then you don't think about, you know, they talk about kids, and it's like, oh, I'm cool not having kids. And then they go to play, and then she just had that conversation at the end. And I'm like, ooh, like, I don't, neither one of us has kids, but I was like, that is rough. Like, you want to have children, the other person don't. It's like, that's, it's a deal breaker in a lot of relationships. And
yes, you'd be yeah. correct.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's why that one hit a little close to home. So,
yeah, and I'm kind of like, there's been a lot of people in that boat, and I can imagine it's like, that's something you talk about in the beginning, and you got to be real honest. Not, I'm going to do it, I'm going to say what she says, or do say what she says to make them happy. It's like, nah, be on the same page with that, because if you're not, and you don't really feel that strongly about it, it will bite you in the ass, and that's what happened this one. Well, and that, and then the
reason,
whole,
there's a reason I'm on my second one. So.
Yeah, and then the whole stuff with the faith and stuff like that, I was like, I love how they handle it, but I never really thought about that, because it's kind of like, you know, I did this, I knew Supergirl was going to come save me, and I looked in her eyes, and like, when the dude's like, I knew who you are, like, you don't forget the eyes of a god, and she like freaking out, like, I don't know what you're talking about, so I ain't a god, so cut that shit out. Like, she basically ran into something that she couldn't beat with fists, and she couldn't beat with words.
Now, and, the end, did he really not remember, or was he just protecting his god?
He was protecting.
That's what I figured. Yeah. So, who was that, by the way?
I don't know. He's not some...
Oh, he looks so familiar. And I know he's some 80s actor. I know he is. Wait a minute. Was that Hilary Swank's husband? Ex-husband? That's who that is.
Let me see. If I recognize the name, I could probably definitely tell you.
It's Chad Lowe. Yeah, that's Chad Lowe.
That is. Wow, I did not even recognize him.
Nice. that was driving me crazy yesterday watching that episode. All right. Well, good, Lee. Good to see him getting work again. Yeah.
It's funny you talked about how they had too much care. Like, you know, John's father showed up for like 10 seconds. So uh-huh. it was like, boom, he's there, but you don't got to worry about him. And yeah, that was a good, tough episode. And it's kind of played the whole thing about like faith and what defines you and everything between the faith and family stuff. That was fine. Flash was funny. Like,
okay. That's the,
all right. And I'll say this. It was parts I liked, parts I didn't like. The stuff with the elongated man, I liked because he was like a sleazeball.
Okay.
And for some reason, I know I read a review that says like different in the comics, but I don't read the comics, so to me that doesn't mean anything. So I don't have the whole impact. But it's like, it's funny where I like the character. Like, he was kind of like irritating, but not the part where you don't want to watch him on TV.
Yeah.
I like the whole dynamic they had, so that was cool. I like the backstory with him and Barry and anything like that. The special effects was kind of was ugly looking. Like, take that back to the iMac.
But isn't that technology's never worked out so far?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Even like the Fantastic Four movies, Mr. Fantastic, that sucked in all of them. Even going back to the first, like the Roger Corman one, which, oof, you know, they had no budget, so at least that was the excuse. But
yeah, it got to be a way to like fix that. Or I don't know what it is. Like, it's got to be something.
I didn't mind the sneeze with the face.
I laugh when you like
that
up.
One. Yeah. Him punching him in the mouth was okay. Like, that sort of stuff you can do. I mean, that's Terminator 2 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the stretching parts, I don't know, man. I thought the same thing. So here's the thing with elongated man. Growing up, there was no plastic man. Like, it was elongated man. It was always Ralph and Sue Dibny. He's a family man. He's this and this. And I mean, that's fine. Depending if they keep the character around, there's room to grow, so that's cool. I don't mind the changes that he was a cop. I don't mind the changes that he was in the bus, because they actually did a little wink to his actual origin. He actually went and they found this drink that allowed him to do that stuff. So you know when they went through the drawer trying to find DNA, something that has DNA on it, and they had the donuts mm-hmm. in there, and then there was a bottle of Gingold. That's what he drinks. That's what he drinks in the comic, or used to drink in the comic. They kind of got away from that. Then they started mixing in the character aspect of Plastic Man in with Elongated Man. Which, I guess Plastic Man actually is a better name than Elongated. But as dumb as this is going to sound, and this is nerd territory, they have different powers. Elongated Man can stretch. Plastic Man can turn himself into things. And stretch, obviously. Elongated Man can't do that stuff. But they started mixing in because I can't remember Plastic Man's real name, L something. He was a criminal, and then Batman got him to turn good and use his powers for good. Elongated Man's always been a good guy. So I will say this. I thought the character was fine. I liked how he had a gut and then went, oh, wait a minute, and just changed the shape so he had like a six-pack or whatever. I was like, God damn, that'd be a great power to have, man. And then I liked the end where he just had the change of heart. You're like, all right, so this is the character that, you know, the comics fans know and love, as they like to say. So
yeah. Yeah, I like the whole attitude he has, like, oh, you know, be a hero, like, that'd be cool, let me get a costume. Yeah, because, like, he's a dick, but he's like, he's like a dick trying to redeem himself, if that makes sense.
On that note, what did you think, were they being serious about, because Barry said that he planted that gun, he immediately said he's guilty, and they never followed up with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, they were both right. Like, he planted a gun because, like, you know, I knew he was guilty. I didn't want him getting off.
Yeah.
And Barry was kind of like, I don't care. We still going to do things by the letter of the law. But they never, like, dig into it. And it's like, that's a... And it's a whole kind of, like, Daredevil Punisher thing on a lower level. It's like, you know, one, even if we do things, we're going to do it the right way. And the other one, like, no, we got to get it done by any means necessary. Which is a different type of thing based on... Yeah, moral compass.
Yeah, and I wonder if that comes back into play later, whether with that guy or just in general, that they're going to come across another situation where, you know, but I guess role reversal in this case because, you know, Ralph is going to be the rookie superhero who knows that it's right, and maybe Barry doesn't want to deal, you know, doesn't want to accept the fact that he may be right about something. I don't know. It's I'm glad they're going to keep him around. I hope it's not in a full capacity, really, because of the special effects. It's not something we need to see. But they actually did a pretty good job of avoiding special effects in this one without making you think, hey, they're trying not to do any special effects. Until the end, at least.
Mm-hmm. God, that guy make that budget.
Okay. God. So, what'd you think of Danny Trejo?
I was just laughing the whole time. I was like, one, I'm surprised it took this long for him to show up on one of these shows. Two, of course, that would be her dad. I was kind of like, that's like casting, like, you hit the nail on the head. And I like how he just played it. He was not winking at all. Like, he just played it, like, straight. Like, a dick. And it worked, because it's kind of like, that's how you do that. And then the whole thing is, like, it's funny where... they're doing their whole thing on the side, and it really has nothing to do with the story until the end where he just pops up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's random. Like, oh, we had Plastoids on my planet, killed everything. I'm not going to have this. And just goes hog wild.
Okay, so there's that. He was fine the whole time because all he had to do was walk around and look mean, which I'll get to that in a second. So he looks mean, does all stuff with Cisco. But then when he has to come out... I've really grown to like Danny Trejo. I think, you know, with his past, paying his debt, getting his act together, getting to be somewhat of a cultural icon now.
More or less, yeah.
And then, you know, being on the straight and narrow. It's a good story. He's made some pretty cool movies, which really helps. But when he did the whole hands up in the air and letting special effects take over.
Yeah, it looked like I've never done this green shit before. Like, am I supposed to have it like this at an angle? Yeah, I noticed that too. It did not look natural.
So I'm not gonna bag it, but yeah, that just give the man a gun.
Yeah, I mean,
he understands guns.
Yeah, I doubt he had to do a whole bunch of green screen doing badass. So it's kind of like, yeah, that I did notice that. I'm like, this is just goofy looking. Like, they got this old badass man, like, I'm supposed to have my hands and then beam shoot out. Like, how is this supposed to work? I'm just sitting there like, yeah, it was, you can tell who's done special effects and who hasn't done it. And that's one of the ways you can tell. Like, the ones who do it know how to move their hands, how to make it natural. The ones who don't look ridiculous.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it looks pretty damn ridiculous. So, but the other part I did enjoy was the fact that his name was Josh.
Yes, that was funny.
And like you said, no wink or anything. So what's your name? Josh. Like, what?
What you expecting? Like, that's normal on my planet. What are you looking at me for? So,
a weird Hispanic name.
Josh and Cynthia.
Cynthia, yeah. Like, huh? All right, well.
And I laugh how Cisco just get these hot women and it just seems so natural.
Because
he just got so much confidence. It's kind of like he has enough charisma where you can sort of believe it. And the fact that he has powers kind of helps. So it's like, because normally you would see that like, yeah, all right, come on now. But they've always played him like, you know, almost like Foggy was on Daredevil. Where you can see, like, you know, you look at him, you wouldn't think one thing, but if you see him for like 5 minutes, like, okay, I can see him scooping up some hot blonde because he's a lawyer, he's smart as hell, and he walks around swinging his dick around like he's the biggest thing on the block.
Yep.
So it works, like, and it doesn't seem like false confidence. It just seems like I know who I am and I embrace it. And kudos to it, giving these nerds hope.
Yep, and I mean, really, it was just one of those easy episodes. They did address Joe being pregnant. I'm sorry. Cecile being pregnant. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that everyone was saying he's glowing. I was waiting for someone to make a sex joke, and then
they bust out the cigars and everything.
Well, no, before that, Flash runs up Elongated Man's arm. End of the thing, gets the gun, and he just looks at him without even saying, like, we got him or anything, and he just goes, Cecile's pregnant. And on my CW feed, it immediately went to commercial. And I was like,
Is it the same thing on TV?
Okay, that was funny.
Yeah, I'm like, that's just so damn random. Like, you just saved the day, and then you just have that's the first thing pop out your mouth. Like, not, are you okay? Is everything cool? Is I'm pregnant. Or she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And then it goes to commercial. So, yeah. And next week they show, like, they having the bachelorette parties. And it's like, you know, you get the gang all in. And it look like it's going to be two completely different type of parties. Like, one group seems like they're going to have a lot more fun than the other group. So, I'm looking forward to next week.
Wait, they're having a I never watched for you for next week.
They're having a bachelor party?
They're getting married?
They look like they're having, like, parties. Yeah. Like, they talking about, oh, because it's like girls' night out and guys' night out. And they had like two separate things going on. And shenanigans happen with the girls. So, like, what's the name? Felicity comes in town too. So,
yeah.
Because they've shown where they, out of the shows, they've interacted the most with Flash and Arrow. Like, they've established, like, you know, they talk and they're like Felicity and Cisco are friends and everything. So, that will be, I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of fun, Legends.
Thank you. And that's how I want to end the show today, is with a fun topic, and this is definitely the one.
Yeah, Legends can only pull that off because they embrace this show so much. Because on any other show, that episode would have been so damn insufferable.
Yep. It was funny because somebody apparently likes Stranger Things. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, mind you. There were so many... And I know this will take flack, but there were so many things in Stranger Things that were on Legends, which, of course, is taken from E.T. and 80s movies. I get it. But, I mean, there was the the Dominator in the closet, Dominator under the bed, boy finds an alien, all this stuff, and you're like, okay. But even some of the music was straight out of like those 80s movies. So it seemed to me that it was influenced by Stranger Things, which I didn't watch season two yet.
When I was seeing, I was thinking, like, I haven't watched Stranger Things, but definitely the E.T. stuff. And they even, like, kind of acknowledge that and everything. And it's just, like, it was a cool episode. It shows, like, why Ray is the way he is. And seeing him, like, you know, because he always, like, you know, my childhood was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. Then to see it's kind of like, it wasn't as awesome as you remember. And him trying to be tough, like, you need to grow up or you're going to get killed. Like, yes. Saying it to his younger self, and that's kind of like tough because Ray was never like that, and it's kind of like it was almost like a slap in the face. And then to see Zara, they're like, be yourself, like, temper it down, like, you don't gotta be like a major dad or anything like that. Like, don't kill what makes you you because that's gonna change you. And
that's what I was wondering, if that was gonna happen.
Yeah, and I liked the end was cool because you see a little kid there, you know, in his costume, like, oh, Adam, what's that? That's the dumbest thing ever. And they all show up with their outfits, even her, and she's like, I don't know how you had to put this ridiculous thing on. How do you guys even fight in this?
Yeah, did you know what that's from?
No.
Did you ever see, I think it was Challenge of the Super Friends? It was a live action.
It looked familiar.
Yes, it was a live action thing. I swear we talked about this before.
We probably have.
It's garbage, but it was all of like Burt Ward, Adam West, Burgess Meredith was as the Penguin, and then you had like a guy dressed up as Superman, Hawkman, Hawk Girl. It was. You look at it now and you're like, that is trash. But I could guarantee you, as a kid, I don't remember seeing it. I'm sure when I did, I lost my damn mind. Because Isis and Shazam are there, Black Adam's on the other side. I mean, this is back in the 70s. I think 77 or 78. And that had to have been the coolest thing ever. And then you see it now and you're like, oh, that is dog shit. Anyways, that's what her costume was from.
Yeah, so I like how they interact with her with the team. I like the whole thing with Stein. It's kind of like, you know.
That's how he's going.
Yeah, like he wanted to be a family man. And like, that makes sense.
Did you notice the baby's name?
Yeah, Ronnie.
So I know they're trying to figure out a way to separate, but I'm also wondering if somehow they get an older version of Ronnie, and because he comes from Stein, he'll be able to connect with Jax, and that's how they have a new Firestorm.
We will soon find out. At least they're doing it in a way that seemed organic, and they just like show up one day, oh, Stein's gone.
Yeah, and they didn't kill him. Well, hopefully they haven't killed him.
No, he can always bring him back. It's just like he's just not going to be there because he's doing some stuff. Like, you know, when he has time again, he can come back. Yeah. So, and that's the one thing about the show. They have flexibility with the cast where they can do that and it still works. And it's funny where you think about that. And I didn't even think about Sarah that much. It's amazing where she's the leader of that team and she's basically like a lesbian martial artist and it's not a big deal. Like, it's just... She's just there. Like, she's acknowledged. She's the leader. She's the anchor of the team. When push comes to shove, she does stuff. The fact that, you know, she's in, like, real-life athletic, she can definitely pull the stunts off. And it's, like, her character's her character. And they're not beating you over the head with it. They're not making it, like, a, you know, after-school special. Like, that's her. And the fact that that's there, and part of it because it's the CW, but part of it's, like, you know, how they've done it. Like, the show's been on enough. It's like, you know who these people are. So you don't got to worry about it. It's like, these characters are these characters. Like, that's how you do. And I always love Mick. Even, like, he may not do that much, but when he does it, it's always funny or entertaining. Like, so...
He's probably the best character on that show.
Yeah.
Because it's no fucks given, basically, with him. And I like that, but it's not at a detriment to the character, you know? He's actually grown, and... That's how it would work. And I did like how he was trying to give the baby a cigar at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute, you're joking, right? But you're never quite sure.
Yeah. And it's funny where he's got that voice. It's like he's just, oh, we gotta go to the thing. And these jackasses do, like, he does just gargling gravel. Like, it would sound, it fits him because that's his voice and, like, that's his real voice. And I've seen him enough stuff where it's like, That's just how he sounds. But that's like something like you hear like out of an 80s show.
Yeah.
Like it would sound, but if it's because that show, like, a lot of people you see online, Legends is their favorite show out of the four, and I couldn't tell them they're wrong because it's like, it's most consistent, especially since season two. Like, it's fun. They embrace what the show is. They enjoy it. Like, it's fun. But when it's serious, they don't have a problem getting serious.
Yeah. And the one thing that, I know we're kind of all over on this one, but there was so much good stuff in this, it's kind of hard. It's always hard to keep track of a conversation or, like, keep something on point when there's so much good in something. If something, like, there's one thing you can dwell on that quick, but this has had a lot of fun moments. And even going back to, like, the past with Steel, oh my God, what is his name?
Nate,
that's right. When he goes and, of course, Ray's mom's hot.
Yeah.
And then at the end, but that's like an old 80s, that's an 80s movie, like sex movie thing. Where...
Yeah, I was laughing, and he knocked it, he put the picture down. Like, this is the little things like that. And it's kind of like, of course, you know, it's really the alien. Like, that's straight out of an 80s show. Mm-hmm. And they playing the whole thing, like, you know, she busts in, oh, I knew you were jealous. Like, no, that's not it. Like, you know, what you kissing ain't what you think you kissing. And they're like, oh, you don't think I'm sexy? You know, deep-ass voice. I'm like, this is straight out of, like, this is like all these 80s and 90s tropes. But they embrace it so much, and they play it straight, but they do enough, like, they know it's tropes.
But wasn't that from Evil Dead? When Ash is making out with his dead ex-girlfriend, and then she changes, and she's like, don't you find me sexy? And then they kind of brought that back in Army of Darkness.
Yeah. They've done it in plenty of stuff like that, where it's a reason why it's a trope, because it's been done before, and it's effective. So,
And then Nate was also washing a DeLorean. He's like, now this is a time machine. I was like, all right, har. Okay, here's one thing, though. Where are they getting all of these uniforms? Oh, I forgot. The ship can replicate uniforms, but where are they getting all these vehicles?
I'm assuming mixed stealing them.
All right. Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I hate more than a pig is a rat.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, he keeps saying... Like, just
keep
calling
saying pig. It was like, damn, dude.
I mean, at least he's consistent, but it's just funny hearing that because it's like, you know, these damn pigs. I can smell pork a mile away. I know a pig when I see it. Like, people don't normally talk like that anymore. And yet, you're like, I'm still doing it. You ain't going to change me. Like, that's part of the character. So, kudos.
He's still a bad guy.
Yeah.
Just doing good things right now.
And I like how they're, like, you know, letting the story space out, like, they're not rushing to get to the main villain. It's like, you know it's something, but you don't know what it is, and you're just looking forward to seeing, like, how it works out.
See, and I agree with you. I like this because we're getting... I think sometimes that a lot of the CW shows get lost in the main villain, or villain of the week, or this and this. Legends, though, we kind of got that with Supergirl and Flash, but Legends was all different character moments. The main crux was about Ray, and then you had, you know, Stein going back in the past to see his anomaly daughter. And then we had... I just lost it. What else was there? There were a bunch of little things in there that all came to this. Oh, even Jax being, you know, pretty much devastated that Stein would betray him. You know, he had that going for him. And then, you know... Especially, you see Ray's origin, and then you see how people are reacting to the 80s, and you see how Ray's acting, like, yeah, because, you know, Brandon Routh is a pretty positive dude anyways.
Yeah.
So, to see him, like, you know, get down and then tell the kid you better hurry up or you're going to be dead or whatever, whatever, that's big.
But you know how hard it has to be for him to stay positive, considering the fact that he was Superman, he did a good job, and... Whenever people think about him, like, oh, he's a guy in the movie that most people don't like. That wasn't really even his fault. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he kept working. Like, he could have easily, like, moped in the ground. Like, because you seen Tom Welling. I remember when he popped up, whenever he popped up, I'm like, yeah, when Smallville stopped, he busted out the Fruity Pebbles.
Hey, so, good. Live your life, dude.
Yeah, he lived his life. without any shame. But so yeah, and it's like, you know, I know we're gonna wrap it up.
Yeah.
You don't watch previews. I'm still laughing like the previews for Arrow for this upcoming week, because the first joke we made last week.
Oh,
was like,
I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, because the first joke we made about like Diggle being Arrow, like, okay, we're gonna notice he looked different. So of course, yeah, if anybody gonna notice, it's gonna be Laurel, and of course she gonna make fun of it. Like, yeah, it's just something different about you. I just can't put my finger. So yeah, and I'm glad they're bringing her back. It's funny where she's like the recurring villain, but not the main villain, because you still don't know who the.
Right.
They haven't really told you who the main villain of this season is. It's like they've been dealing with the aftermath of the island.
Yeah.
And
I'm okay with that. Yeah,
you
can just have the main villain show up. I mean, even in comics, you know, you would have a lot of character issues. And then all of a sudden the bad would show up, and then, you know, fight and something would come from that. But a lot of the time now, it's, you know, they always place the guy. And I know The Flash has it, but they're not dwelling on it. And Supergirl just sort of revealed it.
Yeah.
And then we go from there. So, yeah, no, that's fine with me. Keep doing it that way. And as long as we can grow with the characters.
Yeah, you're doing all these episodes, you don't necessarily have to do it in the beginning. It's like, unless your villain is super strong, I'd rather they don't do that, because you get to the point where you get tired of the villain. Like, oh, he doing this and everything. Like, this... Like, get on, like, you know, and Flash definitely had issues with that, where the villain would be cool, maybe you saw him, like, episode 3, by episode 9, you're getting tired, and then, like, by episode 19, it's like, get on, like, let's do something, go ahead, race, or whatever you're going to do, especially, like, they all speed, okay, whoever's the fastest going to win, let's do the hurdles, like, let's go into Speed Force and do some magic hurdles, and whoever wins survives, like, let's get on with it, so... I like that people are taking their time, especially like Legend of Tomorrow. Like, they had hints and stuff. That's it. That's all you need. And Arrow hasn't even had the hints yet. Now, I haven't worried about that. Like, you're more fleshing out the characters. And I know, to wrap it up, to bring it up, I've seen people talk about it, and I don't know the vibe. Is it just me, or is this vibe where you feel like something's going to go on with Digga and Dinah?
I'm glad you said that, because that seems exactly where that's going. Because it seems obvious that's where it would go. But it's like, his wife is never around. They don't mention the baby at all. I mean, that wasn't even a consideration. They said, well, I'm a father too. Okay, well, where's that kid been? Just gone. Which is fine. You know? But, yeah, that was one and the same thing.
Yeah, because they always have scenes together. They got this weird tension / chemistry. Like, she, you know, because, like, they're grown-ups. A lot of CW shows are kind of like, you know, even when they're older, they seem like more like kiddie-type things or like lower stakes. And Dinah and Diggle like grown-ups. And they act like grown-ups. And Dinah don't take any shit. Like, that's the one thing I like about her character. Like, she will call people out on their nonsense. But they just always, like, looking at each other and, like, just have this weird vibe, like... You know, sooner or later, like, and it, but the whole thing, like, normally you wouldn't have an issue with, except for the fact he's married with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, like, you can't do that, Diggle. Like, even though the whole thing, like, he's using drugs, so maybe he's morally compromised.
Is he using Miracu?
They'd have a, that would be
that's
something.
That's what I'm wondering. And that, like, maybe that's why Slade comes back?
Like, a kid, you know what's going on with your man? Like, I could see that worked perfectly. Like, and I like how that was a thing we talked about before. It's like, you know, it's all, oh, Diggle just, oh, I don't have problems anymore because I thought I don't have any problems anymore, like some Scientology stuff, mind over matter. And I like the fact that, no, he has issues. He's just doping it up like Tom Cruise in Minority Report. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on that note, kids, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. All social media, Stunt Granny, all your podcast platforms, look for We Watch Stuff or Stunt Granny. I was on this week's Stunt Granny audio with Chris Calamita talking all things wrestling. So if you're into that, check it out. I actually go on about how I want to see an Akeem versus Akeem version 2. And also why Brutus Beefcake is a whiny bitch for having to carry Hulk Hogan's cocaine in the 80s. So there's that. I'm out of here. Have a good week. And hopefully you enjoy Thor.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and remember, cocaine will not carry itself. We are out.